up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It is Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz here live from Rogers Arena. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are coming to you live from the mobile Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We got a lot to get into today. The Canucks are practicing as we speak. They just have started practice on the ice here at Rogers Arena. Lots to get into, but of course I should introduce my co-host, who also covers the team at The Athletic, Thomas Drantz. Drantz, what's going on, man?
Not much. This is a big one. Canucks made steep cuts ahead of practice today. Variety of players designated for assignment, a variety of others cut outright. And yet here the Canucks are. They're on the ice currently. There's nine defensemen still on the roster. I think there's only eight, however, on the ice. There's 14 forwards still on the roster. Like, we are getting down to their numbers. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty. And when they show us how they've lined up, when they show us with their lineup what it reads on the whiteboard right now, we are going to get some of our most significant answers of the preseason slate in terms of how Rick Tocchet envisages this team playing on night one of the regular season.
So, as I said, absolutely no shortage.
I love when I catch you while doing the, like, build suspense thing. That's so good.
When I think you're done, and then you're like, no, I'm actually not. I got one more thing.
When you think I'm done.
You're not going to get it this time. Yeah. You did it. All right. As I said, lots to get into today. And as you alluded to, this is going to be a very revealing practice for the Canucks. Ryan Clark, our pal from ESPN, will join us at 1 o'clock. And Batch, of course, from right here on 650, will join us at 1:30. But first, let's get right into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today. October 1st, it is hockey month. It's here. We're now in the first month of the regular season for the NHL. And, of course, we'll start with the headlines. Now, as is often the case in the preseason, the headlines and the lineup notes kind of get jumbled together because the things happening with the roster are, of course, the big headlines. But I don't want to completely move on without touching on the result from last night in Edmonton. Canucks lose 3-2 in a shootout to the Oilers. And of course, after the game, Rick Tocchet pretty happy with the effort from what was very much the B team for the Canucks. And of course, a number of players who featured in that game last night were cut today, sent down to Abbotsford, or placed on waivers for the purposes of going to Abbotsford. But they're able to keep it close, hang in there, push it to overtime, and eventually fall in the shootout. And given the disparity between the rosters, the fact that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, in addition to, you know, Jeff Skinner, Victor Arvidsson, really talented NHL veterans, were on the other side, not sure you could ask for much more from the team the Canucks sent to Edmonton.
No, and as much as the usual preseason qualifiers, doesn't mean anything, right, apply, and they do, right? That takes nothing away from what was a stellar performance from you called it the B squad, and I think that's fair. Maybe the C squad. It was kind of last chance saloon night for some of the Striver class players still angling to make this team. And what do you know? Archdeep Baines comes up with a big goal, spared
still here
from the chopping block today. Yep. Right? I mean, this is the time of year where a performance like that, you know, just that little creeping bit of doubt when Patrick Alvin and Rick Tocchet are talking on the phone this morning helps. Right? It makes a huge difference for a player in Archdeep Baines' position. What is there to say about the performance? Not all that much, right? The Canucks played well, but it was kind of one of those whole lot of nothing games, right?
Lankanen looked pretty good.
That's a meaningful takeaway. Yeah. Lankanen looking good against, you know, a high-octane offensive attack, even if those guys were playing at 30% pace. You know, he's a good goaltender, man. Like, for all that I think we can fairly look at some of the vibes surrounding Vancouver's goaltending situation coming into this season, you know, the fact that Lankanen wasn't signed until after training camp opened, the departure of the director of goaltending coinciding with the injury to the star player, and on down the list. I mean, as much as all of that is true, the Canucks have landed in a really good spot where you've got Shelovs, but you've also got Shelovs insulated. Mm-hmm. Demko's got time bought. I think between Shelovs and Lankanen, you're looking at the Canucks having a tandem that, you know, if they put up average or even better save percentage performance, I think we're going to say, yeah, that's fine. That's roughly what we would have expected from that tandem. So they've landed in a good spot, and every time Lankinen shows up and performs like that, that really sort of underlines
I think
it.
The floor for the goaltending has risen a lot since before Lankinen was signed,
no
right?
Kidding.
And especially with maybe some concerns about Shelov's performance early at training camp, and then you even go back to when he was held out by Latvia because of some sort of knee injury, right? And that was probably the peak moment of concern for Canucks fans. Since then, yeah, obviously major questions about Thatcher Demko still, and that's going to be something that we monitor all season, but at least the floor with Shelovs and Lankinen you can feel pretty good about right now.
Can I give you like a fake line of concern and see whether or not you think it is one or not?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
So the Canucks last night in Edmonton, yes, again, they're overmatched, but 15 shots, 5-on-5, right? Against the Flames over the weekend, 15 shots, 5-on-5. They got 19 against the Kraken in that 3-1 loss in Seattle. But their first game here, where they led the whole way, 14, they actually have the lowest shot rate in the NHL through the preseason, which, given the sort of rush emphasis, right? Is that something or is that nothing?
That's nothing.
Nothing at all? Okay.
JT Miller hasn't played, right? Like, it's just – I think this one sample to all the context of preseason –
yeah, we're talking about
you
like
just can't
200
do it.
Minutes.
You just can't do it. You cannot buy into it, right?
No.
You cannot drill down to those level of stats and get concerned about it in preseason.
Put it this way. If it had happened in the first four games of the regular season, we'd be saying stuff like they have to be better there, but that's probably not what it's going to be like all year.
Yes.
So if we'd do that, if we'd have that take about it, if the games counted, we definitely
then
have to
have
that
take. Then you have to dial it even way farther down for the preseason. Yeah.
File that under solid nothing.
For the games where Ty Mueller and Nate Smith were out there, right? Like, well, okay.
Well, I think we all learned something here over the last 240 seconds.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Me too.
All right, so the roadmap for the rest of the week, Canucks will play their final preseason game against those same Oilers Friday night here at Rogers Arena. And we've heard, you know, JT Miller's alluded to it. Obviously, typically teams tend to treat that as a quote-unquote dress rehearsal for the regular season. That seems to be what we're mandated to call it. So you would expect to see, and now with the cuts that they've made, you know, they pretty much only have legitimate NHL options left on the roster at this point. So you're going to see something pretty close to an opening night roster there on Friday. With 3 days off now, we're going to get a lot of answers. Not the final answers necessarily, right? We'll see how that game on Friday plays out, and then cut day will come next week, but we're going to learn a lot about how this team is going to look over the next 3 days, starting with this practice today. So I'll get right into the lineup notes.
Or should we wait? We'll see by the end of this segment what the actual lines
are.
Sure,
but I'm going to do all the cuts and
stuff.
And all of that, and kind of where things stand in the battles to make the roster here. So about an hour ago, General Manager Patrick Alvin announced that the Canucks have made the following roster updates. So first, placed on waivers for the purposes of assignment to Abbotsford, Phil DiGiuseppe, Nate Smith, Christian Willanen, and goaltender Yuri Patera. Also cut guys just sent who didn't need to go on waivers, sent directly to Abbotsford, and that group includes Linus Karlsson, Jonathan Lekkermäki, Ty Mueller, Max Sasson, Christian Felton, Cole McWard, Kirill Kurgiafsev, defenseman Elias Pettersson, and goaltender Nikita Tolopilo. So, notably not cut, Atu Ratu, Neil Zaman, Arshdeep Baines, neither Mark Friedman or Noah Juulsen, and also Akito Hirose, it's worth noting, is still on this roster technically as well, which is maybe a little bit of a surprise at this point. So the most notable guys who were sent down, I think you start with Phil DiGiuseppe, who has been very much in the running to be that 12th forward on opening night.
Played almost 50 games last year for this team.
Yep. And then I would throw, obviously, Lekkermäki in there as well,
yes,
who, of course, started training camp next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque, was there all camp, you know, had that really positive showing in the first preseason game. Ultimately, however, did not do enough to kind of claim that spot, given the other considerations and given the value for his career long-term of going down and playing in the AHL.
Yeah, we'll see how exactly it shakes out, depending on whether or not the Canucks end up using LTI or not, right? Because if they don't, then Lekkermäki's cap hit was almost too high.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I guarantee you that that was at least a partial factor. I think as training, as the preseason slate went on, it was pretty clear that he could benefit from not starting his career in the NHL, and I think that ended up being instructive here.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and especially that coincides with the emergence of Atu Ratu as well and his strong performance. And when you're talking about the very, very small number of spots available, right, one guy showing out like that makes it tougher for all of the other younger players who are striving to make the team as well. So with that context, by my math now, the Canucks are down to 14 healthy forwards, 9 healthy defensemen, and 2 healthy goalies. So the only healthy goalies left on the roster right now are Archer Shelovs and Kevin Lankinen. Obviously, it's always been pointing in that direction that they were going to be the two goalies to start the season. So you have 14, 9, and 2, plus, of course, Dakota Joshua and Thatcher Demko, who are not healthy right now. So where we stand in terms of the roster battles, it really feels like we've got a three-way battle for that final forward spot between Atu Ratu, Neil Zaman, and Arshdeep Bains. And then the one we've been talking about as well, that battle for the seventh defenseman spot between Mark Friedman and Noah Juulsen. Of course, that's assuming that they're going to go with a 21-man roster instead of 23. It's assuming they're going to try to do everything they can to stay out of LTI. If they decide to go into LTI, then other scenarios become possibilities.
Yeah, then you can have 23 bodies on the roster. Then you'll make decisions like that might be a reason to call up a Lekkerimäki because of his bonuses, right? They matter in terms of capture on and on down the line. The other thing to note, of course, is that the decision could be made for them based on Cole McWard's status, notably not on the ice. Again, a story maybe we're only tracking, but I think it's a vital one because it's going to...
Although Cole McWard was sent down.
Oh, okay. Well, that tells you it then.
Apparently healthy enough to be sent down. Now,
there
somebody,
you go.
Somebody
cleared.
texted in, about Akito Hirose's health status as well, and I guess he did leave the game. It would have been on Saturday against the Flames, so that could be some sort of explanation for him not being sent down, right? Because health can always be a complicated
can't clear waivers
there
when you're hurt.
So we don't know exactly his status yet, but worth noting that that he is still on the team. So what stands out to you? I mean, is it fair to say, as I kind of outlined it there, but we're looking at two battles, and it's between Ratu, Amon, and Bains at forward and Friedman and Juulsen at defense, and that's kind of where things stand going into the final preseason week here?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's very possible that, you know, 3-for-1 up front and 1-for-2 on the back end. I mean, that very much might be where you're at. And then the one on the back end is fascinating in part because the Friedman versatility is such a unique wrench in sort of the spokes of the Canucks machinery here, in that when you're deciding on a seventh defenseman, do you want a guy who can come in, kill penalties for you, and sort of provide some of the same things that Vancouver's defense is built to do in terms of the physicality, in terms of the size, right? Or do you want the guy who can do everything, especially in a world where you're not even carrying an extra forward? Do you want the guy who can play wing for you if you need it?
Yeah.
Left side, right side, whoever goes down, Mark Friedman is ready to provide, like, floor-level NHL contributions for 11 minutes a night, right? I mean, that's what's on offer with Mark Friedman at the back end of your roster. So I actually think that's one of the most fascinating ones remaining. The Ratu Amon Bains of this all, right, is really interesting, too, because of the various incentives here, right? Like, Bains and Ratu can just be reassigned, whereas Amon has to clear waivers.
Yep.
So even if you think Ratu has, like, slightly outperformed him, you have to be mindful of your overall center depth in making that determination. Does the fact that, you know, maybe Amon starts on the wing and you're totally fine with that, whereas with Ratu you want to keep him at center long term, like, how much does the long term sort of importance of how Ratu is utilized versus Amon being a guy who's already played 100 NHL games and who you don't worry about in the same way from a future upside player development perspective? He's already arrived as an NHL depth guy, right? Is that something that shapes ultimately how the Canucks wait filling out that final spot up front?
Well, and I think it's going to have to, realistically, right? I mean, I don't think the gap has been so big that it outweighs the future concerns with Atu Ratu. And part of that is that you still are high enough on what Ratu could develop into that you need to protect that. And as good as he's been through the preseason, again, I don't think it's so overwhelming that you kind of throw out those future considerations and say, hey, whatever, we need to get him into the lineup, right?
Yep.
I still think you have to be mindful of that long game where Ratu's concerned.
One thing to note really quickly is we have seen Canucks show defense pairs. Mm-hmm. They were doing 2-on-2 drills, so we didn't see the forward lines, but we did see the defense pairs in the last sequence. And, of course, while you're speaking, I'm eagle-eyeing
yes.
this. So just to give our listeners an update, you heard it here first. Hughes and Hronek back together as a pair.
You don't say.
Shocker. Susie Myers back together as a pair.
You don't say.
Shocker. Forbert Desharnais.
Uh-huh.
Friedman on the left side, Juulsen on
the right side. That sounds about right.
Those are the eight guys on the ice.
Sounds about right. Should also note a couple of things on the health from the health category. One, JT Miller on the ice. I'll also note he was one of the first handful of Canucks on the ice out here skating before practice got started. So he continues his record of, A, not playing preseason games, but being a full participant in all of the team's on-ice activities. Otherwise, Teddy Bluger on the ice, not in a non-contact jersey or anything like that. Of course, he missed training camp. He was day-to-day. We have not seen him in a preseason game, but again, full participant here on the ice at Rogers Arena as well. And Brendan Batchelor, our guy and our guest coming up at 1:30, notes that Pugh Suter not on the ice for Canucks practice. So don't know there. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet after practice today when he speaks to the media, but at least something worth keeping an eye on and something that
could potentially
change the math, change the considerations that go into filling out those final forward spots for the Canucks. So with the Omon-Ratu-Baines battle, I think the other thing that's really interesting here is the center considerations, right? The fact that Ratu, even last night, relied on to win draws, the now famous his ability to switch hands and go over to the right side and take those draws. But, again, it kind of comes down to how much do you value that versus the reliable penalty killing of Neil Zaman. And, you know, from your perspective, I mean, is this a situation where – okay, if Ratu can go out, let's say he's in the lineup on Friday against the Oilers, does he still have that chance to kind of put an exclamation point on a very successful preseason and win out the job? Or at this point, are we down to it's going to come down to the cap, health, all of those other things, kind of beyond just pure player performance?
No, I think faceoffs are still going to matter. And by the way, I thought it was interesting. Last night, Ratu won 4 of 7, but Neil Zaman won 8 of 13, for what it's worth. So Amon had a strong sort of last showing in the circle, something for the Canucks to bear in mind. All right, we're seeing lines here, so if you drag the puck for 2 seconds, I'll have the update. But
it looks like
Sprong with DeBrusk and Pettersson for now.
All right, that's a very interesting one, and I think that is one of the big remaining questions that we're still waiting to see is who's going to suit up next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk. And again, not that what we see here in practice is going to determine what we see next Wednesday against the Calgary Flames in the season opener, but you get the sense that, okay, they've made this dramatic series of cuts now. They're, you know, quote-unquote down to their numbers. Everyone who's left on the ice has a legitimate chance to be on this team, has a legitimate chance maybe even to start. Certainly if you're talking about the forwards in the opening night lineup, this is the time where, you know, experiment time is kind of done. And this is the time to see, okay, we'd like to try this out in the regular season. Let's see how it works. So the fact that Sprong, in that context, getting finally that chance to go with Pettersson and DeBrusk, I think tells us a lot about his standing on the team. And realistically, I mean, Sprong was always going to be on this team the way his training camp has played out. You know, you look at the other options farther down the list, and it's just a question of, okay, if you're trying to figure out where he's going to slot, I think that spot has always made a ton of sense for Daniel Sprong. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Go ahead.
All right, so I've got them. It's Bluger is centering Hoglander and Garland, so that Hoglander-Garland mix
stays together.
Does stay together. It looks like, although this line's not quite yet on the ice, unless that's Pettersson and they've moved while I was looking down, but it looks like Ratu is centering a group with Oman and
Baines. Yep.
So, although that would leave Sherwood as an extra forward, I don't think that's really how they're going to play it, but it might be how they play it on Friday in sort of making a final determination.
And I wonder if that's also related to Pugh Suter being not present, right? If Suter and Sherwood could be a potential pairing, for example, on the fourth line, if Suter was present and available to play. So that would give us the top line of Miller, Besser, and Danton Heinen, Pettersson with DeBrusk and Daniel Sprong, Bluger with Hoglander and Garland, and then, as you said, the fourth line of kind
Sorry,
of the three.
And I had it wrong, so a correction on air. Excuse me, a correction on air. Don't try to speak live while also tweeting lines is what I've learned today, everybody. But it looks like Ratu was the extra forward the first time out. So it was Sherwood, Baines, and Oman.
Oman.
Yeah.
And then Ratu was the extra forward. So can we read anything into that?
Unless it's for just like a single game, right? I mean, I do think that tells us, or at least implies at this point in the preseason, that perhaps Arshdeep Baines is somewhat higher up the depth chart than maybe we'd imagined previously.
And I think that's especially interesting given, again, with Suter's absence, that Oman slides into the middle, at least for this practice, instead of Ratu, and Baines gets that spot on the wing, again, potentially instead of Atu Ratu. So lots to dig into there, but there you have it. It's Miller with Heinen and Besser on the top line, Pettersson with DeBrusk and Sprong, Bluger between Hoglander and Garland, and then Arshdeep Baines, Niels Amon, and Kiefer Sherwood on the fourth line, Atu Ratu, the extra forward. Those are the fresh, hot off the presses line combinations here live from Rogers Arena and Canucks practice. As I mentioned, 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. And by the way, all preseason coverage here on Sportsnet 650 brought to you by Tile Town. As BC's favorite hockey team kicks off a new season, receive 20% off any regular priced in-stock tile. Visit mytiletown.ca for details. As we continue just to kind of wrap up the whiteboard here, and you know, thank you for bearing with us as we in real time sorted out everything to go into the lineup notes section, I did just want to touch on something from the playoff forecast section here, and just to kind of note about the Pacific Division and its relative strength this year. Your other employer, The Athletic, rolling out their great team projections this week, of course, powered by Dom Lucision's model, Sean Gentile and Shayna Goldman contributing to these projections as well. They're releasing them in batches. So far, they've done teams 32 through 21, so kind of the bottom third of the league. Already four Pacific teams have featured, and three of those have been in the bottom five. They had the Sharks dead last at 32, the Ducks at 30, the Flames at 28, and then also the Kraken at 22. So that's four of the bottom 11 teams, and again, three of the bottom five teams in the NHL in the Pacific Division. And we've touched on this briefly, I think, last week when we were just kind of looking at the strength of the Pacific. It does seem to be pretty stratified, right? You've got a really, really good team up top in Edmonton, some teams that there's reason to be pretty confident in the Canucks and Vegas. L.A. maybe in that middle class alone.
I think L.A. and Seattle belong
That's
in
fair.
The middle
class. But then
together.
The bottom tier, is, and I know is, you're potentially high on the Ducks and all that.
Well,
that's fine.
I'm high on the Ducks showing some signs of life and being frisky.
But the bottom tier is really, really bottom.
Well, so, yes, it is.
Relative to the rest of the NHL. Not to say that those are going to be like 45-point teams or anything here. You know what I mean? But relative to the rest of the NHL, it's very weak.
I could see one of those teams surprising and being frisky, right? The Sharks and the Ducks have the classic, like, hey, maybe one of these guys is so precocious that they arrive a little bit ahead of schedule out. And I do think the Flames have the goaltending out, right? The, like, Dustin Wolf is an elite goaltender suddenly, or Dan Vladar has always been pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, Dan Vladar stands on his head for 3 months, and they end up being a mid-70s team. Like, I think you'll get competence out of one of those three. I just don't know which one. And I don't think the Flames should be assumed to be the one. That's really my take on the bottom end. But, yeah, it's a weak division, for sure.
So especially down there at the bottom. And it's just important to know, right? And if you want to throw Seattle in, now they're in a different category, right, because they were still 22 versus bottom five for the other teams. But still, four of the worst 11 teams per the Athletics season projections, again, powered by Dom's model, residing in the Pacific. The Canucks get 16 games against those teams. No guarantees. Obviously, you got to go out and win them. But as you kind of start to project, okay, what does a successful season look like for this team? I think making hay against the bottom tier of their own division is going to be a key to get them back firmly in the playoff mix in the Western Conference. All right, we'll leave the whiteboard there. We got lots more coming up. Before we go to break, introducing Seeker, Canada's new free app for your ears. Dive into live radio, captivating podcasts, the latest news and sports updates all in one place. Whether you're rediscovering music, debating last night's game, or laughing along with your favorite DJs, Seeker has you covered. Plus, there are some of the best prizes in the country up for grabs. It's all here in one easy-to-use app. Download Seeker for free from the App Store or Google Play. Seeker, seek your sounds. Find the radio, podcast, news, and sports you love. Guests coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, but we got an open segment next. We'll continue to dive into what we're seeing at Canucks practice and what it means for the opening night roster. You can text in as well, 650-650, to the Dunbar Lumber text line. More Canucks talk next on Sportsnet 650.